Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So excited at this time to welcome in Kevin Millar, MLB Network's Intentional Talk. We watch it every day. Talked to him before, and we're talking to him now. Kevin, good morning. How's everything?
Good morning. How you doing?
We're great. Thank you so much for asking. Okay, you know when the stadium's empty, it's like, I don't know, 2:30, 1:45 or so, and the media's sitting up there in the press box, and they're watching everything you're doing, and there's nobody in the stands. Well, everybody's noticed that Francisco Cervelli has started to take some balls at first base in early work. Is this trying to up his trade value? Is this trying to expand what he can do? Why do guys do that? Because to me, one and one makes two here, Kevin.
You know what? It's something that it only helps you, right? But, I mean, Francisco Cervelli, you see this a lot, like Russell Martin up there in Toronto. You know, if you could play first base, I mean, we've seen Russell play shortstop and third base and outfield stuff, so it's another beast. But Francisco Cervelli, who's an athlete, it's kind of like, you know, this is the way the game is these days. If you can add a little bit of value besides, you know, playing just a position, why not? And this is something that Clint Hurl might ask, you know, Francisco, hey, buddy, I need you to kind of come over here and take some ground balls and come out here for early work. And then next thing you know, it's a big story. But usually there's not a whole lot into it because that's his values as a great catcher. But it's nice if you can obviously, you know, add a little bit of value to go to first base if need be.
Kevin, one of the things that still hasn't – well, Josh Bell is slumping at the plate, but I'm going to ask you about him in the field because you were similar. I'm not sure if you were an outfielder before you were a first baseman, but I know you played both. Is first base really that tough to pick up, the nuances of when to go to your right, when to let the second baseman have it, footwork around the bag? How much work does that take, and how long should it take an athlete to pull that off?
You know what, yeah, I came up as a third baseman, you know, when I first – went with the Marlins, and I moved over to first base. First base used to be the old, like, put the big fat guy over at first, it's okay, you know, whatever. But there's a lot more to it, and you just nailed it with footwork and knowing, and, you know, the ball to second base, between that hole, how far to play off, because you get no man's land over there, and then you get the pitcher involved, and we know that you don't want the pitcher involved too much going over to the cover first base. But there is more than you think. And a lot of it's, you know, receiving throws. You know, it's like in Little League or you're teaching kids, don't stride before the ball's thrown. If you're taking a ball from shortstop, you know, you get out there and you've already stretched and that ball's a little bit to your right or a little bit to your left. You kind of get in that no man's land. So you kind of wait and kind of step at the, you know, at the baseball, wherever that ball's thrown. But it's a little bit tougher than people think. It's still, I think, a fun position. But there are things that, you know, you got to work and be aware of because defensively, you know, it's a big deal up there now.
Kevin Millar joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Okay, Jameson Taillon shoved last night. He's 10 strikeouts. He was so good. He threw 33 curveballs. The guys need to take that kind of what Houston staff is doing a little bit more and get away from fastball, fastball, fastball and throw some more off-speed stuff. And maybe this is what Taillon, what could unlock the door for Taillon a little bit more is to work the off-speed stuff in.
Yeah, I think the great ones, you look at a guy like Charlie Morton, you know, when you talk about Houston, I mean, he throws, I think, almost as many curveballs as he does fastballs. If you have the ability to throw a breaking ball strike whenever you can, it's a huge advantage because it's the basically a hitter's counts, right? It's that 2-1 count. It's that 0-0 count when you can flip over something. You know, my neighbor is John Lackey, and he was a guy that, you know, when he pitched for the Angels for many years, you know, he's a guy that he could flip that 0-0 curveball for a strike. And, you know, he was just talking about if you have a breaking ball that you can, you know, command, it makes your fastball that much better. You know, I was a guess hitter. I would sit there in that box and I'd play sequences because, you know, that's, you know, you throw a fastball ball, fastball strike, it's 1-1 count. Okay, now I can kind of go in that sit mode. You know, that softer count. But, you know, guys don't repeat a whole lot. And when I say that, It's just like, it's like two fastballs, one curveball, or two curveballs, one fastball. I think you got to mix it up a lot, and that's where, you know, I mean, Jameson's got such great stuff, but if he can establish that breaking stuff and have command of it, then he really becomes devastating. But he's got amazing stuff, and you know, the future's bright for him.
You just mentioned something, so before I get back to a baseball question, who has the better pool, you or Lackey?
let me be honest, John Lackey, he's way richer. I joke around because I'm not joking. Our street down here, we live in Austin, Texas. Right next door to me is Clay Buchholz. John Lackey's down the street. Then we got Chris Bosh that just moved in town. I'm like, bro, I shouldn't be on the street because you know, you look at me. I'm just fake rich. I always joke around with the guys. I'm paycheck to paycheck. I got $1,300 in the checking account. Lackey, to answer your question, 100%.
Didn't I read somewhere one time? Isn't Buchholz real close with the president?
Yeah, you just read that a little bit ago. Well, there's a story out there that Donald Trump set up he and his wife Lindsey Buchholz. I you know, she used to be like a deal or no deal girl. And then supposedly they're the Red Sox for an Anaheim, and they were at the same party. And then, you know, the story goes. Now, the valid part of the story, I believe, and I'm going to go breaking news on your show, this first time here in Pittsburgh, fans, is that Sean Casey, who's a Pittsburgh native, he was the one that really set them up. So the valid part, Casey said, I introduced Buchholz to Lindsey, and somehow Trump gets all the credit.
So you're saying that Trump tried to trump Casey here with this situation?
No, I think it's a better story from Lindsey Buchholz or Clay is that the president set us up. But Casey validated, I think, that he set them up. So he's a local. He's still living in Pittsburgh. Sean, if you're listening, Sean set Clay Buchholz up and Lindsey Buchholz.
Okay, well, Sean, if you're listening, then call us, and we can set the record straight here in just a little bit. Man, Kevin, I hate to get back to this, but I do like to ask a couple baseball questions here. Have you ever – I know you were on a few postseason teams in your career, notably the 04 Red Sox. But were you ever on any of those teams where you were in a position like the Pirates are right now where they're talking about, okay, if we can make a run here before the All-Star break, still be a couple games under 500. But have you ever been on a team that was able to make a run after being in kind of wallowing through the midseason?
Yeah, I mean, I came up with the Marlins, you know, and the four Marlins, we were always, you know, in that scene. We were young, you know, we had the young guys like A.J. Burnett and Brad Penny and Ryan Dempster. So and Josh Beck, we had all these young flamethrowers that didn't command the fastball. But you look at a Pittsburgh Pirate team, let's be honest, they played better than we all thought the first 6 weeks of the year, 2 months of the year. I mean, we were like, oh, my God. I mean, you go ahead and get rid of, you know, Andrew McCutchen and then obviously Garrett Cole's in Houston, and you're like, this team was playing better than we thought. But, you know, you're in a situation where, you know, you're a professional and you have to go out and play baseball. For some reason in the National League, there's not the powerhouse that there has been, you know, other years past. You know, the Dodgers kind of got off to a really weird start. The Cubs, you know, they've always been competitive. Milwaukee, you know, they're a pretty darn good team that doesn't get enough credit. But it's usually it's the East, the Yankees and Red Sox we talk about. The Astros are the team that we talk about. Cleveland can get hot in the postseason. So if you're the Pirates, you know, you got to look around. You're like, man, the league's not great this year. There's a lot of good ball clubs, but there's not one great team. You got to just keep grinding and kind of see what happens, you know. But you're 10.5 out. You're 44-49. The sky's been falling the last, you know, month. But Clint Hurdle does a good job, I think, behind the scenes to kind of get these guys believe, you know, in themselves. And, you know, I just think they did a lot better than people thought early on. And can they maintain it? Well, time was going to tell. And they've been struggling a little bit of late.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Couple more minutes with Kevin Millar, MLB Network, Intentional Talk. Whether or not you've got a year left on your contract or you're stable in a clubhouse, you're going to be around for a while, tell me about walking into the clubhouse as soon as you walk in there the next 17 days before the trade deadline. It has to feel different than any other time of the year.
It does. You know, as an example, Manny Machado. How many times have we heard about Manny Machado from the Baltimore Orioles? Where is he going to go? Oh, my God. That's going to be a weird scene not for Manny, because it's the teammate side of it, because you're the one answering questions day in and day out. A lot of, you know, talk about struggle bunny. Well, the Orioles have been struggle bunny from day one. And you look at that ball club, it's a lot of the same guys they've had for the last couple of years. But the trade scene with Manny, it wears on you, you know. And I think it just, as a teammate, Manny's going to be fine. He's going to make $300+ million somehow next year. And he's going to go to a team and have a chance to go to the postseason this year. But it's kind of like where and when. You want this kind of over with. And so, you know, you've nailed it. 17 days, you sit here and you're waiting for that July 31st thing. Because once that passes, it's like, okay, good. Now we can kind of move forward and play. But, you know, it's what you deal with. It's an exciting time for fans. And sometimes not so exciting if you're a fan. But, you know, we'll see.
Oh, Kevin, for the first time last Sunday on his weekly radio show, speaking to reporters, Neil Huntington said that, you know, optimism has turned to pessimism, and you sounded like a guy who was getting ready to maybe sell off some veterans here. What kind of value do these guys have? I'm talking about Francisco Cervelli, Josh Harrison, Jordy Mercer, maybe David Freese, maybe Ivan Nova. Do these guys have much value at all?
Yeah, Josh Harrison could fit right now in any team, period, because he brings value for just being the guy who he is. We talked a little bit about Francisco Cervelli. He can play anywhere, gives you a tough at bat. You know, a lot of guys, you got to sit back. It's that veteran presence, you know, of Francisco Cervelli. Heck, this guy's a great catcher. He does great with pitchers. So these are guys with big value. So Neil's got to sit back and go, okay, how does this make my team better for the future, right? Some teams that obviously don't have the market, the finances, like the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox. So you got to get creative. But you can't miss in the June draft. That's what people kind of take for granted. You know, Theo Epstein, who's the president of the Chicago Cubs, who was our general manager in 2003 at 28 years old, one of the youngest ones to start when I was with the Red Sox, but always said to me, you know, I'm going to go to Chicago. It's going to be a tough little couple years because you have to start drafting well. And I think too many organizations, they miss on their first rounders, the second rounders, and third rounders. You can't miss in that draft. That's where you build your farm system. You can go trade one of these veteran guys and get maybe a prospect or two, and that's great if it works out. But your June draft is so important. I think that's where scouting becomes underrated. You gotta know that's where you build your farm system for a few years, and then you go out and add a few free agents once your team gets, you know, stable.
Kevin, it's great. We know you got to get moving. Before you do, tell us how to get tickets with SeatGeek.
SeatGeek's an awesome app. If you don't have it, you got to download it on your device. But basically, it's the smartest and easiest way to get MLB tickets on all your mobile devices. Download it on your device and enter Millar as a promo code. We'll give you $20 off your first purchase. But it's a cool thing. You could see your seats. It guarantees you seats. And I use it every day in Austin for concerts and stuff. But you can use it for any type thing, MLB, NBA, you know, hockey, playoffs, whatever. But it's really a great app, and if you don't have it, download it.
Three drunkest I've ever been at a concert was in Austin at Jerry Jeff Walker one time with a buddy of mine. And I don't know if we used the SeatGeek app or not, but it was a foggy evening. But it was good. It was a good time in Austin. Always See? Is.
And it got real clear the more you had to drink, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But take it easy. Our next call is to Sean Casey to debunk this Trump story.
I love it, buddy. Tell Case what's up. He's a Pittsburgh boy.
Yes, sir. We'll talk soon. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yep. All right. So now we got to get to the bottom of that.
We do.
Here we go. Good stuff from Kevin Millar, as always. But, you know, he says Harrison will fit on any team right now. And I think it's that position flexibility. And it's for a team that spends and a team that has money. His contract isn't something that is an inhibitor.
Price of doing business, especially a guy who can play multiple positions.
Did you find it interesting what he said about the draft, that you got to hit? It's not about acquisitions now. It's about draft and development from the beginning.
Well, the second word you said, you've got to hit on the draft, and the way you hit on the draft, well, you identify the right players, but then you have to develop those players.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.